Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the speed. Here comes the rumble. Here comes the crowd. Here comes the Auto Club 400 weekend, March 18th to 20th. 3 full days of intense NASCAR action.
3 car breakaway up at the front.
Plus live music, extreme stunt shows, and more. Here comes the room. For tickets and more information, visit AutoClubSpeedway.com or call 800-944-RACE.
Good evening, everybody. You got Rowdy Maglott here with Rowdy Maglott Racing. And tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming ARCA race held at the Nashville Fairgrounds. And we're going to, tonight's guest is going to be Tommy Formosa from Nashville, and we're kind of waiting on Tommy to call in right now. The points leader right now, with just one race down, Tona, is John West Townley, and it'll be almost a little over 2 month layover between the two races, and we're kind of waiting on the season kind of give us plenty of time to get everything put back together for this race. I'm glad to have everybody back tonight. And we're kind of waiting on Tony to call. It's a busy week for him. Our next race, April the 8th and 9th. I said it, Nashville Speedway. And the ARCA race is to be at 8 o'clock on the 9th. That's about 25 days away. Had a good race this past weekend. And without further ado, I'm going to bring on, I think we got Todd here. Let me check, make sure. Todd, is that you?
Yes. Sure it is.
How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing pretty good.
We got Tony Formosa is going to be on tonight, Todd. Kind of waiting on Tony to call. It's been a busy day, he said, at the track. What'd you think about the race this weekend?
Well, I can say it was definitely a photo finish.
Yeah, it definitely was a photo finish. That, I tell you, God, they're getting closer and closer. I don't know if we're going to have to start checking them with matchsticks. it was a close finish.
You know, seeing them laugh about it, you know, and as much as rubbing his racing, I was surprised there was no attitudes, nothing but smiles.
But, you know, it looked like Carl gave him a little nudge there to say, hey, I'm here and I'm going to, you know, I kind of think that may have cost him the race was that little bit of scrub, don't you?
Oh, most definite. I mean, there was smoke coming off on that one side, and it's like, yeah. I'm just glad that tire didn't blow and cause a bigger issue and even take Kyle out and ruin it for him. Or Kevin.
Well, you know, that's who I actually wanted to pick for a winner was Kevin. But somebody had – who'd you pick? Todd, this past week.
I think I picked Brad Klowski.
You picked Brad the week before, right?
Yeah, I did it 2 weeks in a row.
Okay, I picked Joey Logano because I thought Penske may have had something happening in the desert. But Joey had a pretty decent race. And, you know, the week before I went with Kyle Busch, you know, it's Kyle's Kyle's needing to win bad right now. I mean, he's hammering at the front lines, but he hadn't got through. You know, Todd, we raced in February the 13th in Daytona, and we've been waiting on this next race, which is, Nashville's April the 4th and 9th. I think ARCA races on Saturday night on the 9th. All right, Todd, if you would, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to bring Tony in, bud.
Okay.
All right, Todd, thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right. How we doing tonight, Tony?
Hey, man, how's it going down there?
It's going great, Tony. I'm sure you're busy, and I'll get out trying to get ready for the race on the 8th and 9th.
Man, I tell you what, it's there's not enough hours in the day here at the Speedway. You know, we've got track rental booked up for the next 12 solid days, not just for pro late models and local guys, but for ARCA guys too. And so we're, you know, just doing all the general maintenance from over the winters. We're painting walls and unloading tractor trailers full of tires and oiling up the tire machines. And we just put in new speakers, new lights, and, you know, right down to power washing the bleachers and touching up the walls and getting all the bathrooms cleaned up, getting ready. So, we got a full crew here. We're working 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, believe it or not, right now, getting ready for our 2016 season.
Well, Tony, I tell you, the fairgrounds, reading over the history, it could make a large book of all what has happened at Nashville Fairgrounds. Is that not right? Some of the great races.
Oh, man, you know, the history of the Speedway stands alone. This Speedway is the second oldest in the world. There's only other Speedway that's older than the Fairground Speedway is the Milwaukee Mile, which is just barely active. I think they're actually running about two races a year up there now. But they got the Fairgrounds, Milwaukee Speedway. Milwaukee Mile has Fairgrounds beat by 2 years, and the Fairgrounds actually has the Indianapolis Speedway beat, you know. And but the cool thing about the Fairgrounds Speedways is it has produced more drivers to professional level of racing. I'm talking about Busch Cup, Nationwide, whatever you want to call it, okay? It has produced more drivers to professional level of stock car racing and more Daytona 500 champions than any and all other speedways in America combined. So I think that's pretty cool, you know, not to mention that I raced here for 43 years religiously, and I was able to take the fairgrounds over as a promoter in 2010. Never in my entire life did I ever think or dream of becoming the promoter of the Speedway. It just kind of happened overnight. So it's pretty cool, you know, being the promoter of the most historic, the most famous, and the second oldest racetrack I'm not comfortable saying in America, but in the whole world. So pretty cool. And this year we've actually sold all the parking spots for the past 2 years, but this year in particular, we sold every parking spot in our registration meeting. Before the meeting got started, we were completely out of parking stalls. We have over 50 drivers competing for Rookie of the Year in different divisions this year. So, you know, we're looking for 2016 to be a bigger and better year. We have we have close to 70 pro late model drivers that have registered this year, over 175 drivers in all have registered, and I'm not comfortable saying 175. That was the count that we had at the registration meeting in January. So I know that there have been probably, don't quote me on this, but there have been close to 15, maybe possibly 20 more drivers that have registered since our registration meeting. So you know, I would not be comfortable saying, you know, 180, 190 drivers to compete. You know, that's a total of 8 divisions this year. So, but that's still a lot of drivers and a great car count here at the Fairground Speedways. We're doing really well. But you know, it's a lot of hard work. I thought for years and years and years when I got in my race car, and I headed down to the racetrack to go racing, and never in my wildest dreams did I imagine what the work and the effort that the promoters and the staff behind the racetrack put just to have that pit gate open and the track open for you to pull in here and buy your pit pass and come on in and race your car. It's unbelievable. I don't think there could be anything in the world any harder, any more stressful or complicated than running a racetrack. So it takes a special kind of person, Ronnie, to do this. You have to have the love and you have to have the passion, not only for the facility, but for the sport of stock car racing. My dad was one of the early pioneers that started the Speedway in the early 50s. And, you know, I was always crazy about cars. And my mom told me when I was 5 years old, when she brought me here to the fairgrounds for the first time in 1958, which was the first asphalt race, here at the fairgrounds. They raced dirt here for years on the 1 mile horse track, but when they built the new track in 1958, the asphalt track, she said that she knew what I had been sent to the earth for. That this was my home. This was, and it has been my love, my life, my passion. I eat, sleep, and live stock car racing, and I'm really proud to be the promoter of this great facility.
Well, Tony, you know, it looks like it was a great fit for you as being a driver as long as you have been, plus your father racing there. You know, you got to love a place to promote it, and I can tell by your voice that you got to love it. And, you know, I think that's the trouble with a lot of our racing is people have just forgot to promote. They think just throw a sign up, we're coming Saturday, and this is what it is, and that's it. There's a lot more to racing than just throwing a sign up and hollering, we're open and we're ready for your money.
Man, I tell you what, it's you know, unfortunately, a lot of promoters feel like that. I've seen that, you know, recently, but, you know, every chance, just everything we do, you know, just like you guys giving us the opportunity to be on your show tonight, you know, and we, you know, we appreciate what you guys do, what you guys are there for and everything. And, you know, it's every opportunity we get, we do a show car appearance. I have 12 race cars, and some of them are active cars. We use them as show cars. We're at all the flea markets. We're at different locations with our marketing partners at stores and Hunt's Brothers Pizza locations, and I could just go on and on and on and on and on. Whenever there's a big function downtown Nashville, we get permits to bag a meter, and we park down in front of the Bridgestone when there's a monster truck pull or just anything like that, a big concert or whatever. You'll see us on in downtown Nashville on 2nd, 3rd Avenue on Broadway passing out flyers and everything. We're at every flea market here at the fairgrounds. You know, it's just what you make it is what it is, you know, and you just have to take advantage of every opportunity and more. You know, the hard part about being a promoter is you go out and you spend, golly, I've spent anywhere from $15,000 a race to $50,000 a race. We have to deal with Coca-Cola here in Nashville, and we put flyers in all of the trucks. Plus, we have our schedules on the back of, like, 15 Coca-Cola trucks, and you know, we pick the ones that go within a 75 to 100 mile radius of Nashville, and And basically, so you're riding down the interstate, and all of a sudden you see a picture of two race cars, you know, right in the middle of the Fairgrounds Speedway's 2016 schedule. So, you know, we're on Vietti's Chili's cans. We're on Coca-Cola cases and markets. And the bad thing about spending a lot of money on promoting a race is if it gets rained out, you know, you have no control over rain. And, you know, so you pick a race, a big race, which like our $5 night in August or whatnot, and you go out and you spend $25,000, $30,000, and then all of a sudden it rains out. All of that money that you spent, all that hard work, all that promoting and advertisement, just you have to start all over again. And for the rain date, which it may be the next week, it may be the next day, it may be, you know, 2 weeks down the road, you have to turn around and spend that money again, marketing and promoting that race, letting everybody know, hey, we got rained out, but we're going to run on the 17th or 18th or next week or whenever, you know. And it's hard to recuperate from things like that. So it's not all uphill business, you know. You win a few and you lose a few, you know, just like when you're racing. But you can never give up. You just gotta go on to this thing head on, like just like you're driving a race car, you know. You know, I never, ever once left the house thinking I was going to run second. If there was ever a doubt in my mind when we left on Saturday to go to the racetrack that we were going to run second, we would not go. We raced to win. And that's the same way I promote the Speedway, with a winning image and you know, just we give it everything we got, 100%. We never give up. And I don't care what kind of business you're running, whether you're running a hot dog stand or a super speedway, it is what you make it. Your product has to be good. You have to treat your customers well, you know, and I think that that's one thing that gives us a winning edge here at the Fairgrounds Speedways is I am a racer. I was born a racer, and I'll die a racer. I'm just steering this ship right now. This is my sixth year being a promoter here at Speedway. And, you know, So I am a racer. I can relate to the racers. I know how they want to be treated. You know, what's it cost to go down there and pat a guy on the back and say, hey, man, appreciate you coming. Thanks. You know, your car looks great. You did a great job. Hope you come back and run with us next week. You don't know how far that things like that go to a racer. You know, I mean, and it costs you absolutely nothing. You know, it's a rarity with promoters, and I think that that's one thing that gives us the winning edge here. Not to take anything away from any other promoters, because I've seen right. a lot of it, but you have to get in the mix. You have to treat these people the way they want to be treated. And you know, over my 43 years of racing, you know, I've seen the ups and downs. I've seen the track in its glory days, and I've seen it in its not so glory days. So, you know, you just have to keep plugging, man. You got to keep digging. You know, it's never gonna go anywhere if you throw your shovel down. You got to keep digging.
Well, there's been some really really famous NASCAR drivers that have passed through there. I mean, you talk Buddy Baker, Bobby Allison, Benny Parson, Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip. I mean, the history speaks for itself of all the great racers that have been there in the past.
It really does, and you know, it's been the training grounds for so many people. You know, where do you want to go? Dale Earnhardt Sr. sent Junior here. He said, "Go to Nashville. If you can win there, you can win anywhere." Bobby sent Clifford and Davey here. You know, and Richard sent Cal here, and Cal sent Adam here, you know, and, you know, so how could you get any better names than the Petties, the Earnhardts, you know, the Allisons, the Marlins, you know, Sterling won four track champions here, Cookie won three track champions here, you know, and I was very fortunate to have the privilege of working with Dale Earnhardt in 1987. In 1989 and 87, when Dale Senior came here and drove, in a NASCAR late model stock car. He drove my car in 1987, and he came back in 1989. In 1987, he had already secured the Cup Championship with like four or five races left to go in the season. Believe it or not, he was that far ahead. And it was announced, you know, it was just a great honor to have the Winston Cup champion driving one of my cars. And I was his teammate. I drove one of my other cars, and I picked the best car for Dale. And Dale was nice enough to say, hey, you know, I appreciate you doing that, but you take the car you want, and I'll take the other one. And I tell you, I met him back in the mid-70s, and when you worked for Robert G. And he was the type of guy when you met him. A couple of days after you worked with him, he just seemed like you'd known him all your life. He's just a really comfortable, really classy guy to work with, as well as Darrell Walter. Darrell Walter was a personal friend of mine. He's driven one of my cars here at Nashville. So has Bobby Allison. So has Rusty Wallace. And a number of drivers, right on down to Tony Bittenhauser and whatnot. So throughout my career, I've been, you know, fortunate enough to be able to work with guys like that and learn the trick of the trade, you know, not only the race and tips, but, you know, to get to do the things that people love and work with the people that were very famous, the greatest in the world that got to run here. And I think I learned a lot from them. So it's been a great ride, and it's going to get better in 2016, and hopefully we'll secure a lease for 17, 18, and 19, and be able to carry on the tradition of stock car racing at its best, Southern style, right here at the Fairground Speedways. I'm as fired up as I sound about this. I like I said, I love this. This is what I do, I got a son-in-law that's racing here this year, and I'm helping him out. So I stay pretty busy between the race shop and the racetrack, and getting to go home. You know, it's just go home to get a shower and get a few hours sleep, and then I'm right back at it again. So I love what I do, and I've really been blessed with great health. Good Lord has blessed me with great health to be able to keep on doing what I love to do, and really excited about not only our opening race, but the second race of the year will be our second annual, since I've been the promoter, our ARCA race, you know, returns to the Fairground Speedways, and that's a big deal for April 8th and 9th. I've also gotten the opportunity to work with a guy that does a lot of promoting by the name of Bob Sargent, and Bob's putting on the ARCA race here April 8th and 9th, and really excited about that. So,
we got Bob coming up next. He said he was in a meeting, and as soon as he got out of the meeting, he's going to call in also, Tony. So we got Destin coming up.
Bob's a great guy. He's a great guy. He promotes a lot of dirt races, you know, the dirt ARCA races, and it's a great honor, you know, to be able to work with another promoter like Bobby. Whenever a promoter works with another promoter, you get to learn things and share your ideas with other promoters, and two heads are always better than one. So it's been really fun working with Bob over the past year, and looking forward to helping him on the ARCA race in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Well, he said that just as soon as he got out of his little meeting, he was going to call in, and it would probably be about 15 or 20 till before he could call in. You got testing coming up the 23rd and the 24th for ARCA, is that correct?
We do. We have media day that's coming up next weekend. We got track rental booked all week, all right on up to media day, and then the following week we've got our April 1st, which we always have open practice on Friday night before the open race on Saturday, and then the following week We'll have the ARCA race on April 8th and 9th. It's going to be a real twist of a change. They're going to run the Super Lakes. They'll run the Super Lake Miles on Friday night, and they'll have CRA will be here along with Southern Super Series. So both of your Super Lake Miles series from the north and the south, it'll kind of be like a Civil War on Wheels deal, you know, the best of the north versus the best of the south, right here at the Fairgrounds Speedways, you know, and then they'll be back in October for the All-American 400. So we're running Super Lakes at the All-American this year, so it'll give the guys kind of, I guess, a warm-up race, you know, to try some different setups and everything. We'll be running the same kind of tires this fall as we run this spring, and actually the track temperatures and weather will be more you know, similar to rather than running in the middle of the summer when it's real hot, it'll be rather brisk and cool. You know, the track temperatures will be about the same in the spring as they will in the fall, so they'll get a good reading on this, and a lot of big name drivers, the best Super Late Model guys and Pro Late Model guys, not only from the south but from the north, will be here for the April 8th and 9th second race of the year right here at the Fairgrounds Speedways. It will be the ARCA race featuring the best of the CRA Super Late Models from the north versus the Southern Super Series Super Late Models from the south. It'll be it'd be a great night for racing. You can bet on that. Two nights of racing that you won't want to miss.
Well, I tell you, last year was my first year to attend the fairgrounds, and there's not a bad seat in the house or a bad place to stand anywhere at the track, is there?
Oh no, no, there's not. You can see everything. It's just like standing over great view. You know, you can see everything from the infield too. That's one thing that's people, I hear people ask guys, drivers all the time, what is it you like about the Fairgrounds Speedways? Because honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm the promoter of this track, guys, but I've never ever heard any driver dislike or not like something about this track. Everyone, whether they're from Canada, whether they're from California, Texas, Colorado, Florida, wherever they're from, everyone has always loved the race here at the Fairgrounds Speedways. And, you know, when you win here, you've won it the best, you know. So, and I think that it's people say, well, what is it? Is it the location? Is it the city or what? Well, I'll tell you. It's a combination of a lot of things. There's a lot of things to do right here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's the third growing city in America. You've got, you know, the country music, of course. You've got everything that you can imagine you can do right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Not only that, but you have a racetrack that's 5/8 mile high bank, 5/8 mile racetrack. Now, that's pretty doggone good-sized racetrack for late models, you know. Speeds of up to 130 miles an hour at the fastest point of the racetrack, but it's just a perfect track to race on. A lot of room. You can run three abreast. It's a perfect challenge between man and machine. You know, it's always been the standout. You know, a lot of racing room. You can race side by side, wheel to wheel, door to door, bumper to bumper. And when something happens, you got a lot of reaction time. You got a lot of room to miss it. It's not a small, narrow track. It's a great big old racetrack. And then right when you think you have her down tack, she'll reach out and grab me and jerk you right in by your collar into the wall, just like a vacuum cleaner. So a lot of action, a lot of competition here, a lot of race cars, a lot of fans, a lot of electricity right here at Fairgrounds Speedways. It's one that if you're a racing fan, I guarantee you, you're going to get your money's worth here. If you don't, you can come see me and I'll refund your money. So far, I'm not in 6 years. I've not had anyone with their hand out yet.
Well, Tony, you got a lot of enthusiasm about the track, and that helps sell tickets when you got a guy that really wants to make the success out of a place. And you know, that another great feature was the cover grandstands. There's not many grandstands left with the cover over them, and the fairgrounds is still one of them.
Yeah, and you know, it's a cover without any poles. It was developed by an architect in the mid '60s. I think the track burned in '66. The old wooden grandstands burnt, and they built her back. And an architect built this grandstand. It's like a bridge. It's got a cable up over the top of it. And I've been up on a roof many times since I've been a promoter, and believe me, it's up there. But you know, you can actually walk on it, and you can feel the whole entire grandstands move when the wind blows. You can see it. It moves back and forth. It's kind of spooky, but you know, it's like a building. If you skyscraper building, and you built it where it wouldn't rock back and forth, it would break off and fall. So a little flexibility in the, but there are no poles, and you know, it's pretty cool just to stand there and look at it and say, now how is that covered grandstand being intact right there? What's keeping it from falling? Well, it's got cables that are about 2.5 inches around that come down about every 20 feet or so. And they anchor onto the back side of the grandstands on the angle iron, and then they come up, and then on the center of the grandstand they go out to the end. Like I say, it's just like a bridge. You know, the cables are what hold the bridge up, and they're what hold the grandstands up. It's really pretty cool the way that that it was designed. You know, had to take
When they thunder through there, you just pretty much have to have earplugs when they come through there. The way it megaphone, it just echoes, and then it's like an amplifier. It shoots it back into the infield and just thunders. It's really different than any track I've ever been to.
It has a sound of its own, and it carries a repeater, you know, echo, it's really weird because, you know, it's kind of like being at Talladega or something, you know, not quite that radical, but, you know, at Talladega you'll see the car and it'll go by and then you'll hear it as it goes by. But it's kind of a different deal. You know, if you're sitting in the grandstands and the car goes by, you don't hear it until after it goes by. You know, it picks up its second its second echo as it goes by. It's really cool the way it sounds. So it does have a sound of its own. Absolutely.
Hey Tony, do you have time for one caller? I got a caller here, Todd from
yeah.
He's from upstate New York, and he's a big race fan. Hey,
sure. Let's get him.
Todd.
Let's get him on there.
All right. Hey Todd, you got Tony Formosa here with Nashville Fairgrounds. What's your question, brother?
I've heard a lot about your track. All good stuff. And you know, big old crowd pleaser. I've heard about the echo. So, with your track, it's one of the like most desired tracks to go to.
So I don't get the second part of the question. Would you mind repeating this the question? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Sorry about that. Is your track one of the most desired tracks to go to have a good show?
Oh, most definitely a good show. You know, there's there is so much action. You know, something that's really unique about the Fairgrounds Speedways here in Nashville, we have two tracks here. We don't just have the High Bank 5/8 mile track. We have a quarter mile track in the middle that's a flat track, and we run the Legends cars there, and we run Super Streets, we run Pure Stocks, we run the Legends cars, we run the Front Runner cars, and we have six other divisions that run on a quarter mile track here, and then we have two divisions that run on a 5/8. So if you like quarter mile racing, you know, wheel to wheel, smelling the rubber, watching the sparks and the parts fly, you know, the heated tempers and whatnot, the quarter mile track is where it's at. You know, some of the best racing you'll ever see, quarter mile racing, you know, and a lot of talent coming up, and you can actually watch these guys graduate, you know, till they get to the 5/8 mile. And then we have the limited late model, which are perimeter style cars. They're 3,100-pound cars, and then the premier division is the pro late models that are 2,700-pound cars with 450 horsepower and they get on with it pretty good. And we average around 30 cars, you know, per event. So it's pretty cool to see 30 cars, you know, lined up going at it on the 5/8. Not to mention we have some quarter mile divisions that have anywhere from 20 to 30 cars, you know, in it too. So, we also have a 10:30 curfew here at the fairgrounds. So we've got eight divisions that we have to get done by 10:30. So, we can't fool around. We got to get on with it, but you will most definitely get your money's worth. I promise you. We'll sell you the whole seat, but all you need is the edge of it, because that's what you're going to be sitting on.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, appreciate thank you very much. Appreciate you calling.
It definitely keeps you on the edge. Last year, I think Grant Enfinger was the winner last year at the race, the 23 GMS Racing. Isn't that correct, Tony?
That is correct. Yep, that's right.
And now Grant has moved on up to trucks, and you know it's good to see Grant moving on and improving. But you know, now with the new Elmore Motors, you know, a lot of guys have stepped it up, and some of them are actually going to come with a new fiberglass body. So ARCA's moving in the right direction right now. And Nashville plays a big part in that direction too, Tony.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And out of eight divisions, we have over 185 drivers in eight different divisions. So, man, I tell you what, if you don't get $10 worth of stock car racing out of that, then there's something wrong, you know. So it's the cheapest form of entertainment in the state of Tennessee. I'm not comfortable saying in the southeast. And you'll definitely get your money's worth when you come here. If you don't, I will refund your money.
Well, it's for me, Tony. We started racing in '92, and it was a family affair. And my daughter she growed into another direction, which they're slowly starting to come back, and my wife is slowly coming back. But it has always been a father son event for us twice a year at Talladega. And, you know, somebody's looking some way to spend more time with their son or their daughter. You just don't get no better than motorsports. It's a family affair, is it not, Tony?
It really is.
You see it. I mean, you grew up into it.
It really is, and it's been a family tradition for for us as well, you know, and we're all about kids, you know. We have one of the things that we have set our sights at and that we concentrate, our biggest deal is making it fun family atmosphere. We have, you know, we start off with free ice cream for the kids. The first, you know, 500 to 1,000 kids that get here, they get free ice cream, compliments of Purity Dairies. We have bouncy houses for the kids, you know, that mom and dad want to sit up in the stands and watch the race, you know. The kids can go down and get in the bouncy houses. We normally have a couple of them here at the Fairgrounds Speedways. It doesn't cost anything. It's on the house. We have the money drop where we get up on the roof and we take anywhere from several hundred to $1,000 in $1 bills, along with D&D bucks, which are just like bucks that you can spend them nowhere but at our concession stand. And we take all that, we mix it up, we set it out on the end of the roof, and I got a guy that walks down through there with a backpack blower, and when I tell him to go, he starts blowing that money off the end of the grandstands, and buddy, it just starts raining money. It looks like $1 million falling out of the sky. So, you know, we also give away a big screen TV, flat screen TV at every race. All you got to do is register for that when you come in the gate. You just fill out a form, and somebody leaves here with a really nice flat screen TV, 32-inch flat screen TV every race we have. We have tons and tons of giveaway. We give away oil changes, compliments of Darrell Walker Honda and Crown Ford. We have meals that we give away. We have movie tickets. Just you never know what we're going to give away, but we're big on giveaways, you know. And we like to say that everyone that comes in can win a little something. We give away hats. We give away T-shirts, you know. And that's what we're all about. We're all about promoting. And we have the back to school night in August where we have $5 nights. You come in. We give free school supplies to every kid that comes in. We'll leave with $20 or $30 worth of free school supplies. And how we do that, we reach out for our marketing partners that are sponsors here at the Speedway. Everyone puts up a donation for school supplies back to school night, and the Speedway will match whatever we raise. Last year we raised $4,000, and we matched that. So we gave away $9,000. We put an additional $1,000 on top of that. We gave away $9,000 worth of school supplies. And believe me, we were up in the suite for 2 days packing backpacks and dividing up, you know, boxes of crayons and you know, just stuff like that for the kids. But that's what we're all about. We're all about making this a family affair, you know. It's a place that you can bring your kids and, you know, kids under five are always free. 12 to 6 are half price, and you know, we try to make it affordable. We have family packs here, you know, that we do discounts on for families and whatnot. So it's the cheapest, affordable, it's the most affordable entertainment in this city. And like I said, I'm not comfortable saying. Not in the Southeast, where you can come here, you can have a great night, affordable night, see some good entertainment, have a chance of winning some good prizes, catching some money, winning a big screen TV, getting a ride in a race car and seeing some action-packed stock car racing is best, you know. So I don't know what more we could give you, you know. Like I say, for anyone that comes here and doesn't enjoy their time that they spend here, there's something bad wrong. I just don't think we can make it any better.
It sounds like a great asset to the community, Tony. It really
does. It really is. It is a great access to the community, and it is a standout of its own. And you know, you just like I said when we first started talking, you just gotta keep digging. There's you never run out of things to do. You never run out of things to promote. You know, it could just go on and on and on and on and on with things to do. You know, Thanks for the kids. Thanks for the family. And, you know, we do a lot of things for local schools. We take cars around. We work with the American Red Cross. We work with handicapped kids, you know. We do fundraisers for the American Red Cross, for the American Cancer Society, for the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, right down to St. Jude Children's Hospital, Wounded Warrior programs. You know, that's what we're all about here. Not just trying to do a good deed, but trying to get our name out there, you know, you know, where people keep coming, you know, we try to do things for good causes. You know, we got a lot of things to promote here. We got 13-year-old Chandler Smith, which is the hottest thing in the country right now in a pro late model. 13 years old, okay? And this kid's already won a super late model race and almost won a pro race here. So he'll be here racing for the championship this year. You know, the young guns first, you know, the legends like two-time Daytona 500 champion Sterling Marlin, you know, and Casey Atwood, and guys like Willie Allen and Jeff Green, former Busch champion, you know, they race here on a monthly base. So you can see the stars of yesterday and the stars of tomorrow, you know, all in the same night. Pretty cool.
Actually met Sterling Marlin last year at the racetrack. Sure did. Nice guy.
He's got a great fan base, yes. and a great guy. You know, just a good old country boy, and just a great example of a good old boy. He takes the time for everyone. He always has, and he always will. And just a great guy. You know, to the sport all the way around. You know.
Hey, he's like you. It's got to feel good to be able to be down on ground zero where your dad raced at the same track.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. So, yeah. Where are you guys? You guys are located in central Alabama, are you?
I'm probably about 45, 50 miles west of Birmingham on the new I-22 corridor headed to Memphis is where I'm physically located.
Are you toward Tuscaloosa way?
Yeah, well, I'm probably 47 miles from Tuscaloosa. I'm 60 miles from the Mississippi line and 70 from the Tennessee line up in that corner up.
Okay.
Northwest corner.
Well, you know, I raced around down there in Alabama for years and years and years. I always just had a great time. Met a lot of great people. Made a lot of friends. Bobby Hamilton Sr. and I grew up together right here, and he was one of my best friends in the whole world. We started going to Huntsville and racing. Howard Wayne Bentley, guy, was a promoter down there, great guy. He passed a few years ago, but we thought it was the coolest thing in the world. He paid us $100 tow money on top of what we wanted to come down there. Went down there and ran on Friday night, and then we started going to Birmingham and running down there. We were scared to death that place on account of the guardrails, but you had people like Bobby Allison, Red Farmer, and Hut Strickland, and all the Alabama gang, Neil Bonnet, that came from out of there. It was really cool getting to go down there and race with them, and then we went on down south a little bit more, you know, we went down to Montgomery and had a great, great career at Montgomery, won a lot of races down there, got a chance to go over to Mobile and Sayre and right down to South Alabama Speedway, up Alabama, where they're having the Rattlesnake Rodeo this coming weekend down there. I'll be down there promoting the Fairground Speedway's opening race on Friday, and then for practice, and then we'll be back here for our media day on Saturday. So got a lot of driving ahead of me for the weekend, and then made a lot of friends and had a lot of fun racing in Alabama. Alabama was always good to me. So
can you believe that Red Farmer's still racing? We went to the
to the
Ice Bowl at Talladega when they had it, and Red was right out there in the middle of the mix of the mile.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a character. Actually, believe it or not, Red Farmer drove a car for me here. I can't remember what year it was. I want to say it was around 83 or 84. Bought a car from Chubby Crow, and Red came up here, and he didn't have anything to do. And I asked him, I said, well, would you drive my car? He said, well, sure, I'll drive it. He got in that car, and it wasn't even a top five car and almost won the race. He broke a right front shock with about 20 laps to go and almost won that race with the right front shock broken on it. And, I tried for a year to go as fast as Red Farmer went in that car on four shocks as he did on three shocks, and it wasn't no way. I mean, I watched him race here for years and years and years, and he had a way of making a car go around the track. You know, I mean, he had a way of making a car. He was the greatest example of a driving force that I could ever imagine. You know, just nothing but arms and elbows. You know, nerves of steel, but a great guy, a really really great guy. A guy that always took the time to talk to everyone and just a great competitor and a great person on and off the racetrack. You know, it's definitely one of my boyhood heroes.
Mine too, always been. Tony, what do you think gives these young kids that are 13 and 14 years old, 15, the edge to be out here competing with grown men?
What would I say to them about?
No,
what
do you think gives them the edge or the ability to get out and mix it up the way they do as young as they are?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You never heard of these kids as young back in the day. I know when I first started racing, I started racing when I was 14 years old, believe it or not. And when Mr. Donahoe found out that I wasn't but 14, he wouldn't let me race there anymore until I got my learner's permit when I was 16. So I set out a year and go to a few other tracks, you know, and tinker and fiddle around and whatnot. You know, I think that the internet has helped these kids, you know. They race on the internet, and I know a lot of kids that do that. My brother has been really big on doing that for a long, long time, and I just think that they get on the internet and they drive these cars, and there's such a similarity to really being coordinated to drive a car on a computer, you know, and I think it really gets them primed up to get in a car and drive it. In one aspect, you see these little kids out there racing and you think, shame on the parents, you know. Does the kid really, really know the danger of being out there in a race car, you know, racing with all these cats and everything? Do they really know what sheet metal and steel and fiberglass can do to a human body? You know, but you've got, you know, these kids are just, you know, they get out there and they race and you think, you know, that they're in the danger zone and everything, and they just look like they're actually born in a race car. You know, these kids just really fascinate me. I tell you, you know, Jeff Burton called me a couple of years ago when Harrison started racing, and he called me up and he said, Tony, he said, I got this. Start telling me about what his kid had done, and you know, every place that he had been and all the races he'd been in and whatnot. And And I said, well, wow, that's all pretty neat and cool, Jeff. How old is Harrison? And he said, well, he's 12 years old. And I said, what? He said, now, if you don't want him to come up there and race, we perfectly understand. I said, I want him to come up here and race. Believe me, I want him to come up here and race, but you think it's okay? Oh, this kid's been racing since he was four years old, you know? And they put him in go-karts, and then they put him in mini cups and mini sprints and this, that, and the other, and they just, you know, they go on and on and on and on and on. And like I said, Chandler came up here last year when he was 12 years old, out there in a pro late model car, and I think that you know, the God-given talent that these kids have is just, it just blows me away. And you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people say, man, how could you let a 12-year-old kid, a 13-year-old kid out there, you know, racing and everything? Well, you know what? Insurance company has no problem whatsoever, you know, as long as they have a good resume, you know, and they've been had experience in race cars, let them go. And, you know, knock on wood, they've all done a great job here. I don't know of any track that I would rather have my kid in personally is experience than the fairground, because it's a very safe track, the way it's built and everything, and safety has always been our number one thing here, and it always will be our number one thing. So, you know, from automatic shutoff valves on fuel cells to the way the car's constructed, the padding, the seat, the belts, the flame-out system, the whole nine yards. We have a rescue squad that we have as many as 8 trained the real firefighters, real paramedics, real firemen. We have the Jaws of Life. We have everything that you would have on a super speedway as far as rescue equipment and everything. And our number one deal here at the fairgrounds is safety. So, you know, I think it's just raw God-given talent that these kids have nowadays, you know, for this stuff. And you know, as time progresses and technology progresses, you know, the human brain and the ability for a young kid to drive a race car progresses right along with it. That's my answer for that question.
Well, I want to tell you, Tony, I've enjoyed the night. Can't wait to meet you. Looking forward to being there on Friday night. Don't know if my wife is coming. She went to the first race this year at Daytona, and I had been with a group for 18 years, and they had all called it a unicorn, and when she went, she really had a good time. So I think she may be in store for another great weekend at Nashville. And there's
absolutely
plenty to do.
And you guys are welcome here anytime. Anything I can do for you, anytime you need me to be on your show or whatnot, hey, I'm a phone call away. Thank you guys for having me tonight. But most of all, thank you for supporting our great sport of stock car racing and our facilities and our drivers. It's people like you guys that are a great part of this, that make this thing tick, making the media aware of us being here and what we're doing and everything. So my hat's off to you guys. Have a great night, and we hope to see you soon at the Fairground Speedways. God bless you.
Hey, thank you, Tony, and looking forward to it. And we're gonna get you back on one night before the race. Actually, we'll talk about it, get you lined up one more night, and give us a
sure.
little brief summary of where you're at, Tony. Thanks a lot,
sure,
sir.
Sure, guys. Thanks for having me, and drive safe and wear them seatbelts, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Todd, are you there, sir?
Yes,
man.
Man,
what a show.
Oh,
if you don't feel like getting out running circles in the backyard after that one.
Yeah.
Kind of wish you lived closer so we could meet up and go. I mean, you know, for me it's just a 3-hour drive, and I'm gonna tell you, I can guarantee Tony, I'm gonna load up my grandkids and we're gonna come watch them race, because they put on a great show. It really is a historical place to watch a race, and for my grandkids to be able to go and I can tell them who's been here and what's going on, it's gonna be a pleasure to do.
Oh, most definite. That's why, you know, this past week I went up near Buffalo, and a couple I had met at Watkins Glen Track, they got two little boys, and they're 4 and 9. And I took them up about 2,100 little collector cards, and you want to talk about some happy boys. And I said, well, they're our future fans. I'm going to do what I can to help them out so they'll want to keep enjoying it.
Well, you know, Todd, if we're not mentors to this younger generation, our next generation is in trouble. You know, we're gonna have to step it up. I tell you, I went to Atlanta to the Atlanta race, and I've seen a lot of parents with young children at the track, and it was hard not to say, hey, I appreciate you bringing your kids, because they're the next generation that'll ensure that we'll be back when we're older. And, you know, there was a lot of new people. I mean, I talked to several people first race. And, you know, this year, Todd, we ought to make it a promise to ourselves that we will try to take somebody new to a race that's never been to a race. And let's see, all it's going to take is one race. Yeah, I met a guy from Chicago in the parking lot. They just pulled up next to me. Todd, next thing I know where he's from. They flew in. They never had been to a race before. I said, where's your seats? And he told me his seats were down next to the they were 20 rows from the bottom. And I looked at him. I said, listen, let them get going good and walk down as far as you can go, and then let them come around. And I said, I want to see you at the end of the race. And I was waiting on him at the end of the race. He come up there with a big smile, hollering. He says, I've never, ever experienced anything like it. So I'm kind of like you, Todd. He kind of hooked me up, says, listen, I live in Chicago. I want to go to the Chicago race, and I want you to come and be part of it. So I'm looking like I may be at Chicago when the ARCA meets in Chicago. But, you know, it's up to all of us to keep going and trying to enthuse more people to take their kids and get the kids involved in racing. And I think in the 90s and the early 2000s, everybody got away from that. And that's affecting us, the attendance at the track. I mean, we've got the best sport in the world, auto racing. It's the most expensive, but it's still the greatest family sport that you can have.
Oh,
but
most
Todd,
definitely.
Listen, man, I've enjoyed the night. Glad you called in. I always enjoy you calling in. It's another great night. And, you know, we're going to back up. We're going to do this again Monday night. I've got a couple of good guests lined up for Monday night. Tonight's my 7th show, and I hadn't had a failure guest yet. I mean, it has been incredible. Just like Tony. Tony just needed a place to vent what he's got for sale, and he done a great job of venting that out tonight on the show. But, Todd, I appreciate you calling in, and looking forward to tomorrow night for Tim and Steven's show, the Pit Stop.
Yeah, I enjoy my racing, and I enjoy the shows. As you know, I call into sometimes 3 of them in a week. So I enjoy hearing all the different stories and stuff, and thank you for everything you do.
Well, you know, I'm just glad that Tim and Steven give me the chance to do it. Everybody has to bear with me. I'm growing at this, but my guests have been absolutely wonderful. You know, we had Tommy Prater last week. you know, with the K&N, and of course they had a little rain, but they did get it in on Sunday. That was a great event for them. You know, we really have had some great guests. Tom West Townley, winner of the Lucas 200. We had, before that, we had Brad Smith and his crew in. I mean, I have really been blessed, Todd, and I'm glad that you're part of it. And I always look forward for you calling in, sir. And I appreciate it, Todd.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir. You do, as I'll tell you, like I tell Tim and them, you do something I enjoy, so I have the free time, so I enjoy being able to come on and listen to all the stories and hearing all the great stuff.
Well, you know, I'm kind of hoping, Todd, that we kind of made it Pocono. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I've got that down on my list of the Pocono race. So hopefully we'll get to hang out at Pocono a little bit. You got James is going to be there with Carl Long. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and my roommate, who had never been to a race before, he is going to be there to help out Carl Long and them and James.
Boy, has he never been to a race before?
Never in his life.
Oh, boy. Another one of them brims with a hook run through the eye.
Oh, you know it, buddy. I said, once you go, you'll always want to go.
Well, you know, everybody, I've never have heard anybody say, well, I think it was just a waste of money and I'm never coming back. If they have, they probably sat in a sweet box somewhere and they never actually got to feel it, taste it, smell it, and hear it. There's nothing like that first two laps when they go around to that new smell of oil and fuel and rubber when it finally comes up into the stands and hits you. It's an incredible feeling.
Oh,
so, Todd, I'm going to close out here tonight, man, and we'll catch you on the next Monday night.
All right.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Oh, all righty. All right. I think now we've got, I was going to close out, but we've got Bob Fardin in. Now let's see if this is Bob here. Hey, Bob.
Hello.
How are you tonight, Bob Sargent?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. After listening to Tony talk, I'm ready to go out and run circles around the house. That man is a promoter. That man
yes,
is a racer
sir.
And a promoter.
Yes, sir.
So you're with Track Enterprises, isn't that right, Bob?
Yes, we're with Track Enterprises. We're out of the Midwest here in Illinois, and we do a lot of racing. We own a couple racetracks with some NASCAR guys that race weekly, and then we go promote some of these ARCA and USAC races. So we're going to be in Nashville at Tony's Track on April 8th and 9th, and just looking forward to bringing the ARCA guys into town.
Man, I tell you, last year it was a great, great weekend, a great night of racing. The weather was absolutely wonderful. The sunset was beautiful last year. And to see the cars thunder around the bank and the sun going down all at the same time, it made for a great, great evening.
Yes, it really does. And all the racers enjoyed being there. Tony just has a great facility there with the fairgrounds, and we're just really looking forward to going back there. This year we added another day. We'll have our late super late models there on Friday night doing some qualifying and two 50-lap races that will line up their main event on Saturday along with the ARCA cars 200 race lap race. So a lot going on the 8th and 9th.
It's going to make for a great weekend. I know Nashville's I tried to get a room probably about a month ago. Well, if you want a room, you got to get one quick in Nashville. They go fast in Nashville, don't they?
They do. That's a growing city, I tell you. It's just booming everywhere, a lot of vibrant business going on. So, yeah, we encourage everybody who wants to get a room. We're talking about having some more entertainment on Friday night. So keep watching the Fairground Speedway website and our website at Track Enterprises for more information about our entertainment after the races on Friday night. And then all day Saturday we'll be practicing and qualifying the big cars. And just want to invite everybody out.
Well, I tell you, Tony was talking about the chances of winning the flat screen TV at each race, plus making it rain money with gifts and cash. You can't hardly go wrong that night.
No, that's what Tony does. He does a great job down there, and everybody's lucky to have that place going, and all the great promotion that he and Claire do, and then all the staff, and then they got some great racers there too. So we're just, like I said, we're really excited about bringing the Supers there and the ARCA stock cars, and it's the same cars that everybody watched race at Daytona, and this will be their second race of the season. So we look for a big field of cars and a lot of stars on hand,
and not a bad seat nowhere. I mean, you can see the race absolutely everywhere.
You're exactly right. Yes, that's a nice big old grandstand, kind of the tradition what the fairgrounds is all about, and it sits up there top of the track, and you can look down and see the big track running around there, and it's a great sight and a great tradition there with the fairgrounds.
All right, so you're going to actually have something going on Friday night.
Yes, sir. 250-lap races and then some entertainment. Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you come back Saturday. Is that the first race starts at what time?
Well, again, they'll be practicing and qualifying from 12 o'clock on all day long. And then the super race will be at 5:45. It's a 75-lap race. How they qualified in their 250-lap qualifiers the day before. So last year was just a super exciting race. And then we'll go into our quick driver autograph session, and we'll start the ARCA 200 at 8 o'clock.
That's right. And everybody has a chance to go down and meet the ARCA drivers before the race. Isn't that correct? Autograph session.
We're going to have a little fan fest on Friday night for the people before the live entertainment. And then on Saturday before the 200 lapper, they can go down and get their autographs. So these guys are really, just very accessible. And it's just a good time to bring the family and bring the kids down there to get these stars autographed.
Bob, that's the best thing about ARCA is, you get down there and your kids can actually meet and look these drivers in the eye and ask them a question or get their autographs that you can't do on Sunday. And that's not taking nothing away from Sunday, but you're talking about million-dollar contracts, and they don't have much time. But with the ARCA stars, they've got time to actually go one-on-one with you, and it can inspire a kid to be something better than what he thought he could be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We do that. We invite the families and the kids down after the races to look at the race cars up close. And you're right. That's just something you can't do at Sunday's races. But definitely do it there at the fairgrounds on Saturday, April 8th, 9th.
Well, Bob, I appreciate you calling in. Would you like to give any of the information on or your social media, how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, there's many ways because we're working there with Tony and Claire. You can just get on the fairgrounds website. We got to go to our schedule on their website, and you can see all the information you need. You can call our office in Illinois at 217-764-3200. And, again, you can always just Google us and look for trackenterprises.com, ARCA, fairgrounds. There's a lot of ways to get a hold of us, and we just invite everybody to look at our social media and or give us a call.
Bob, I appreciate it, and looking forward to seeing you on the 8th, meeting you on the 8th there. And,
okay, that sounds good. Thanks for having me on, and you keep that good weather in line for me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm ready to see that beautiful sunset again this year at the fairgrounds.
Nice. That's great. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Bob, and we're looking forward to seeing you. Hey, and we'll try to get you on one more time the week before the race.
That'd be great. I appreciate that. Anytime.
Thanks a lot, Bob. All right, everybody.
What a night. What a night. Thanks to Tony Formosa for calling in and lining us up with the Nashville Fairgrounds and Speedway. Bob Sargent for calling in with Track Enterprises. That's Nashville, the 8th and 9th of April. Great weekend. Got plenty of time to plan it. Looking forward to seeing you at Nashville. Until next Monday night, I'm Rowdy Maglite with Rowdy Maglite Racing. Good night.
Here comes the speed. Here comes the rumble. Here comes the crowd. Here comes the Auto Club 400 weekend, March 18th to 20th. 3 full days of intense NASCAR action.
3-car breakaway up at the front.
Plus live music, extreme stunt shows, and more. Here comes the broom. For tickets and more information, visit AutoClubSpeedway.com or call 800-944-RACE.